Well, since it's Anniversary Sunday, and I'm going back in history today a bit, I thought I'd start up here. You know, I normally don't start preaching from up here. This is not a place I'm really comfortable with. I feel hemmed in. So it won't be long, and I won't be up here. But I'll start from up here today. I want to start from up here today because I want to talk to you a little bit about the history of our church. You know, we've been around 196 years. 196 years. The church is just 1 year short of the founding of this town. This church was founded in 1817, which is the church or the town was founded in 1816. We started out as just a small group of people, probably farmers. I don't know if there were any merchants in there, but farmers, I'm sure, who came together and said, in this wilderness place, because it was wilderness back in 1817, it was kind of sparse around here. Not too many folks lived in Strongsville. In fact, it just got its name, Strongsville, back then, if that was even its original name. There wasn't a whole lot of people, but they knew that even in the midst of the wilderness where nobody was at, they needed a church. So they got together and they formed the First Congregational Church of Strongsville. That was way before the United Church of Christ ever existed. The congregational churches were those who came over with the pilgrims and the Puritans and landed in places like Connecticut and Boston and Massachusetts and other places. They came from the old world to the new world with a thing in their mind. They were going to build the new city of God, a place where God was going to rule, where it was going to be God-centered, away from all the structures and the royalty and all the stuff that was going on in Europe. It was going to be a place where God was in the center of things. Well, they came over and they migrated out this way. You know it. They started back in New England in the early 1600s. And they migrated over this place and there were other churches who eventually formed around here, evangelicals and the Reformed, and the congregational churches in New England were part of the. There was another group called the Church of God, who was actually an offshoot of the Methodist Church. They called them O'Kellyites back in those days. O'Kellyites were Methodists who didn't want a bishop. So they started their church, and Church of God or Church of Christ. Anyway, they started the church and had no bishops. And so eventually they started merging and becoming one congregational church. But our congregational church out here started in 1817. People came out to then wilderness and started the church. The first church meeting house was in a log cabin that was over on the other side of the street there. It was erected as a community center. And they met in the community center in a log cabin. Then in 1836, they built the first church called the White Church. The White Church. Because it was a white wooden structure and it was erected and it sits over now where the city council chamber and city hall is. It was eventually sold for $350 in 1891. But it was the first church. All churches have their difficulties. No matter what church they are, they have their difficulties. Issues divide the church. Sometimes it's issues of justice and having to do with what God wants us to do, and it sometimes comes in conflict with political ideologies and systems. Our church was no stranger to that. Back in 1842, there was actually a split in this church. those who believed in slavery as okay, and those who were abolitionists wanted to abolish slavery. And the church split and became two congregations. And the Free Congregational Church eventually in 1853 built its own new building called the Brick Church. This very church. It wasn't until, let me see, 1882 that the churches reunited after the split. And finally, one brave pastor by the name of Turner worked hard to reunite the two congregations after the Civil War. Other things have stuck out in our mind, some of the things that we've done and stood for over the years. In 1928, the Ladies' Aid Society. What do you think about that name? Ladies' Aid Society. They built a kitchen and a dining room on the church. And we've been serving food ever since then. That's when Betty Craig got her start. And then it's 1928. And then 1981, the thrift shop opened. And Lola carried the first plastic bag down the steps. Yes, yes. And it's been going and serving ever since. We purchased property in 1983 and built the parking lot on the back at a total of about $200,000. Then in 1985, we purchased another $150,000 piece of property to extend the church. And just this past year, we spent another $110,000 and bought another adjoining piece of property, all with the idea of what our church would be in the future, looking to be faithful members of Christ's community and Christ's church. A lot has been done. And we've a lot to do, for sure, in the future. You know, Rachel, will you tell us about the membership of the church?
Certainly.
Come tell us about the membership of the church. I'm going to step down because I can't be in that box anymore.
As everyone sees, there's an insert in your bulletin that talks about the membership, and I'm going to, if you found your name on there, I'm going to announce some years, and when I announce how many years you've been in, I'd like you to stand up.
Okay.
So, greater than 65 years. That's you.
Betty Craig. She was
Betty Craig.
Yeah, she was here during the beginning.
So, 67 years for her. How about 60 to 65 years? Jean?
All right.
How about 55 to 60 years?
55 to 60? All right.
How about 50 to 55?
50 to 55 years. All right.
And we have no 50-year members this year, so 45 to 49 years.
Anybody 45 to 49 years? Wait a minute, you are not 49 years old yet. How can you be in that area?
She's joking.
All right, yes, thank you.
That's
all right.
True. 41 to 45 years. Now she gets to stand up.
All right.
36 to 40.
36 to 40. No way. All right.
An Oma back here. 31 to 35.
31 to 30. I thought you told me you were only 30 years old.
Okay.
All right.
26 to 30.
That's easy. All right.
21 to 25. That's me.
All right.
Just me. Okay. 16 to 20.
16 to 20 years. All right.
11 to 15. This is our big list.
11 to 15.
All right.
All right.
6 to 10.
All right. All right.
2 to 5 years.
2 to 5 years.
All right. And those that joined this year, 1 year this year.
This year, all of this year. All right.
And hopefully, if you didn't get to stand up, you can join our Journey Through Faith class. And in a couple of years, we'll recognize you.
All right. Praise the Lord. Thanks to everyone who's worked and cared for this church for all those years. You know, the scripture today comes from the book of Revelation. It starts out with Christ sending messages to the churches of its time. From the revelation to John comes these letters, if you will, or these messages that come to the churches so that Jesus is kind of checking in on what they've done. Now, some of these churches are fairly older, maybe 50, 60, 70 years old. None of them are as old as this church, by the way. None of them are as old as this church. And Jesus sends to them a message. I was wondering what would happen if they sent a message for our 196th birthday to our church. What do you think it would say? Well, I believe the Holy Spirit speaks through us. So I think the Holy Spirit's already given us that message, and we're going to write it down. In the scripture, it always begins this way. To the angel in the church. To the angel in the church. How about to the angel in the church in Strongsville, write. And then it goes on to say, I am the one who was and is to come. Or I am the one who sits upon the throne. Or I am, as Jesus identifies himself. And then he starts saying good things. Because you know what? We always want to hear the good things first, right? If he were to say to us in a letter the good things, and maybe this is a good thing that he might say to you too individually, but if he says the good things, what might he say?
The church helps those who need help.
What is it?
The church helps those who need help.
I see how you help the church who are those who need help. What else? Yes.
Faith, hope, charity, and love.
I see that you work on faith, hope, charity, and love. What else? Yes.
That we are open to all.
That we are open to all. I see how you feed my people. This is the eatingest church I ever been in. It was no wonder that they built the kitchen on. Really. It was appropriate. What else might they say? What else might be said? Yes.
Share the joy of my word.
Share the joy of my word. How you share the joy of my word. What else? How about how you stood against slavery? And you are for justice and peace. Let's not talk about the choir. No. Yeah. How we make a joyful noise. What else might it say?
We are a family.
That I see you are a family. What else? What else? Yes. How you minister unto the children.
We are generous people.
That you are a generous people. And giving. Yes. Others? We remember the forgotten. What else?
We outreach to those that need.
Okay, outreach to the need. That's probably giving, generous giving. Anything else? Yeah. We're friendly. Okay. Feels pretty good, doesn't it? Does that make you feel pretty good reading those things? Does it make you feel good? It does. It does make you feel good. It makes you feel like we're doing it all, right? We're doing really good. How many years you been in this church?
Almost
10. Almost 10 years?
Yep.
You think that's a pretty good description?
Yes, I do.
Yeah?
Because I've been in churches all my life before.
Yeah?
And I'm a little old lady now.
You're a little old lady, you're 90.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep.
And just getting going.
Yep.
Yeah. She's 90, she just turned 90 years old.
Wow.
About time she did something. This makes us feel good. But guess what? Every time Jesus writes that, he then goes on to say, page 2. But I have this against you. Oh. Put up there, but I have this against you.
Right.
What is it that he would fill in this blank with? Sometimes we're hypocritical.
Prejudice. We're very prejudiced people. Extremely prejudiced people.
We're prejudiced people. What do you mean by that?
Look at our government.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect example of ridiculous and how everything is taken out on the poor people.
Okay. Sometimes we think more about ourselves than others. What else? Resistant to change. I'm looking around at all the arms crossed. All right, resistant to change. I got this one for our kitchen staff. You feed yourselves, but not outside your community. We have fundraisers. But when do we feed the poor?
Right.
We have activities, but when do we invite those who don't have food? Seniors. Poor. What else? We don't share. I have this against you. We keep secrets, especially the secret. We don't share Jesus is Lord. We don't do that well. We've kind of drifted from that basic concept. What else?
We sometimes lack vision.
When I read to you this actually comes out of the Journey in Faith book. When I read that to you, did you realize that almost everything we read talked about building? About the building? What? Very little talked about anything outside of the building. How would it be if it said in 1983 we participated in, instead of We bought a new parking lot. We sometimes look in rather than out. You know, we've been doing pretty good. But you're right. We need to not lose the vision. We need to not lose the vision. Yeah. You're done. Thank you. Well, not too long ago, we came up with a visioning retreat in which we looked at the vision of the church. And basically, we came up with four areas of concern that we're going to deal with. We said that in our vision of the church, we wanted to work in four areas, or needed to work in four areas. One was the growth of attendance by getting the word out. We said by the end of, probably by the end of 2014, we should have at least 151 people in worship every Sunday. By the end of 3 years later, 250, and 5 years down the road, 400 people in worship. Wow. That's going to take us out of our comfort zone, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We said we needed to work on our communication goals and have a plan to help us communicate better with each other and better in our community so that we are able to not only talk about the good news, but live the good news. When we get that done, will you send a note to Congress? They could use that. Christian education. We decided that in a year, and by the end of 2014, we were going to have 25 kids in Sunday school. We're on our way. By the end of 5 years, our Sunday school was going to have 100 kids in it every Sunday. How many of you can remember when our Sunday school had 100 kids? How many of you remember when we did the last thing new? If we're going to have 100 kids, and I'm thanking the Sunday school because they're moving on it now, they're moving in that direction, we got to be relevant. We've got to be relevant. Change. Reach new people about the glory that Jesus Christ is. And then we said the other was going to be the outreach. Outreaching to others. And that might be seen as doing community dinners for the needy and the homeless. Having a gathering time for seniors during the week and breaking bread together. It may mean participating more in outreach ministries. Maybe in having small groups of us go out and help rebuild houses or help folks who are elderly can't fix their houses to do something for them. Wouldn't that be cool? And stand for justice. He says, if you do the things, if you hold to your vision, if you do all the things, keep the vision alive, then we can sit it with him on his throne, just as he has sat with his Father on his throne. He says, I'm knocking at your door. If you open up and let me in, I'll be with you. So are we going to open the door or are we going to keep it closed? Now, I'm going to finish up here because this has a new thing. You can look at this letter in two ways. You can look at it as a letter to the church, but you can also look at it as a letter to you. Suppose Jesus sent you a letter, came first class mail, and it says, to my angel, I know you. And this is what I know about you. I know you for 90 years, you have. I know you for you have. What would be in your letter? Would you be proud? But then would you ask yourself, when he says, but I have this against you, you have not. You have done this. You have fallen short here. I'm wondering, would it end up like the letters that we get that say, that advertise for something and we just don't even open them and we toss them in the trash? Would you toss Jesus' letter to you in the trash? Or would you take action on it? As a church, if we expect to be around 196 years, we better take action. And as individuals, we need to take action for all that we are yet to do. May God bless you. Amen.